Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 86, Submission to Authority. Enoch Paul delivered this first message in the Relationship Series on July 28th, 2019.
We are so grateful for who you are. And Lord, we want to go to the heart of this matter and the subject because we don't want to see what the world shows us about authorities because sometimes they can be bad. But we want to see how you show us authority and how you give us authority and how we ought to be good authorities, oh God. So change our mindset. It needs to change our perspectives. And Lord, help us walk just like you here on earth. And I thank you for that. Take over, Lord. I want to shut up and I want you to speak through me in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, this, I'm talking to you today about submission to authority. When Pastor asked me, well, I blurted out this, and he said, oh, that's a great one. And I said, okay, time out, can I take it back? But I felt the Lord say, yeah, go for it. Talk to people about submission to authority. Because here's the thing, we live in a world where there's a notion. You watch TV programs, you watch movies, you know, there's this notion that authorities are bad and you know, submission to authority is not a good thing and all of that. So, most times it's because we don't understand the dynamics. Now, if you figure out the dynamics, you will say, excuse me, we need this. We need this. And there's a right way to do it. So we may have got influenced by wrong examples that we see or, you know, experience ourselves. So hopefully today we can unravel those things. The other thing also is this is a vast subject. In other words, we could go for 3 days talking about this. he has weird ideas. He's like, oh, great. So he laughed, so I laughed. So I'm talking about the Lord. I don't hear dead people. So this is a vast subject, so I am not going to talk from A to Z on this subject. So if you have doubts, ask my wife. But if you have questions, seriously, you can ask me later on. Or, you know, we can discuss this. But I am going to talk specific things so I can put in a skeleton so you can grow into this as you meditate. I'll blurt out a bunch of scriptures. Some I'm going to read, some I'm not going to read because we have a lot of scriptures. So here's the thing. I'm going to talk about, number one, what is authority? Let's figure that out because if you figure that out, the rest will all fit in. What is authority? That'll be number one, the topic. Section. And number two is, what is the role of authority? What is their purpose? Why does God delegate authority? That'll be the second thing. What is authority? Why do we have them? Number three, we're going to talk about what types of authority does God set over us? So what do we have? Now, I'm not talking about churchy things. I'm talking about real deal life here. What kind of authorities do we have that we ought to consider submitting to? And then fourth section, it'll be, how should we submit to authority? So there's always, you know, there's a right way and there's a wrong way, right? So what is the right way to submit to authority? And then I'll close up with some final thoughts. Does that make sense? Okay. Since this is a heavy subject, I'd like to loosen up with a few jokes here and there. No, I'm not copying Joel Osteen, but I am me. Okay, here's a joke. After a revival had concluded, three pastors were discussing the results. They all came together, and they said, hey, we had a great revival. So the first one was a Methodist pastor. He said, the revival worked out great for us. We gained 4 new families. To that, the Baptist said, we did better than that. We gained 6 new families. And to that, the Pentecostal pastor said, well, we did even better than that. We got rid of our 10 biggest troublemakers. Talk talking about three different aspects and perspectives. We'll look into different perspectives of authority here. Again, let me throw out another one. Three boys were in a schoolyard and were bragging about their daddies. The first boy said, "My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a poem. And they gave him $50 for that." The second boy said, "Ah, that's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a song. And they gave him $100 for that." The third boy says, "I got you both beat. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a sermon. And it takes eight people to collect the offering." Thank you for the offering sermon, Sarah. All right, number one, authority. What is authority? So I went and looked. Okay, so 11:18. Did time really fly by?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to rush through. Okay, I looked into the definition of authority. What is authority? I went to the original 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And it says it's an entity with legal power or a right to command or to act. Okay? It's an entity with legal power or a right to command or to act. The one which has influence of character and office. That is an authority. In other words, it's a person or an organization having power or control in a particular sphere. It could be political. It could be your office, your administrative. So there is a chain of command. That is authority. Authority always is delegated, comes from above. Okay? So here's the thing I am first and foremost throwing out at you. Understand this. All authority comes from God. All authority comes from God. Let it sink into you, because there is nobody above him. There's no one above him. So all authority comes from God. Regardless of if your immediate authority over you is a good person or a totally lousy person. Now, I worked under a lot of good managers, and I thought, brilliant, this is the best place to be. And I worked under lousy managers, managers that are just brutal. I don't know how that is in GM, but I hear a lot of stories. There are a few people who work at GM that I supervise. They also work at the airport, and they have stories. I'm thinking, Lord, how do you live there? I don't know how that is. God bless you all who are working in GM. Amen. But it's a good production, I say. We get a lot of trucks come and park at the open parking lots in the airport. But I heard, this manager is brilliant, and this manager, oh, help us, Lord, So, and I've seen that in the airports that I have worked in. I've had great managers, and then there are managers who are micromanagers. They're always sniffing behind you. What are you doing? Why are you doing? How are you doing? Why can't you do that this way? Why can't you do that this way? It's like, go home, please. And so it's not just your workplace. It can be at home, too. So we have different authorities. First things first, God is the ultimate authority, and God is the final authority. Amen. Did you know that? God is the final authority. Amen. All authority comes from God, and he gives it to whomever he wills. So I was reading through Genesis chapter 1. I said that's where where the first word of authority or dominion or rule comes in. So I read that, and we see that the story begins when God starts creating things, right? He creates things, and the word for and God created, that word God means Elohim. Elohim. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first verse. Did you know, which that implies a lot. That's a small verse. It implies a lot. You're thinking, so he existed already. He's not a created being. So we know that when he created, it came out of power and authority. I wish I could do that. Speak things, and it just happens. It may happen in movies, but it doesn't happen all the time. I once asked Lord, I feel a little lethargic spiritually. So I speak something over me, you know, and the scripture we read in Psalm Proverbs 1:25, you know, turn to my reproof and I'll make my words known to you. And so I said, I speak that over me. And I did that, literally in 5 seconds, I saw a cop. I was driving in Lexington, Kentucky. I saw a cop in lights. I said, not that kind, Lord. It works. It works. Bad time, bad moment. Be me, Scotty, right now. I did get a ticket. This was years back. And I said, what do I do now, Lord? And I heard him. Didn't you ask for turn to my reproof and I'll make my... This is your chance. I said, I've got to figure you out someday. So it was a state trooper. So he came and he's like, you know, the whole thing. I had to go to the office, call my office. I'll be late. You give my, you know, $250. Yeah, he said, not the city, it's the state. State's poor, I think. Anyway, so here's the thing. When you ask God and he gives something like that, you have to ask a follow-up question. Because if you don't, you end up paying $250. So I said, okay, God, I am not lethargic anymore. I am alive because I'm praying, you know, speaking in tongues, you know. Because he's got my driver's license. He's checking a few things. He comes in, gives me the ticket, and I say, what do I do, Lord? And he is so brilliant. 2 days later, the city calls me and says, we understand that the state, trooper stopped you. You don't have to pay that if you take the driving lessons. I mean, you pay for it, but the record, you know, gets clean. Because I'm working at the airport in public safety and all of that, so I got to keep a clean record. So I go and, you know, they do the class and all of that. It's expunged. I am like, great. I said, God, anytime you want to test me, this was great for my faith. I am so good. That night, I'm going back at 2 in the morning. I'm going back. A sneaky cop is right in the corner. I had not seen him. He's never been there. And that road was downhill. And so at, you know, it was 55 downhill and becomes 45. I just didn't understand. How do you go 55 to 45 downhill? Well, I'm going 2 in the morning. I'm just delirious. You know, I had like a 12-hour day. And then boom, boom, boom. I didn't ask this time. I didn't ask. But you see, there was authority there. I had to stop. And I'm telling him, I'm almost in tears. You know, grown up men don't cry. Some do if it's 2 in the morning. I'm like, sir, I just got a ticket last week. Oh, I'm sorry. But you are going fast. Yeah, but I don't understand. Did you know within a week they changed that sign? Yeah, that 45 was moved. And I'm saying, this is wrong. Can I appeal? But here's the thing. Remember, if something happens that you don't understand, always ask a follow-up question. So I said, okay, Lord, how are you going to do it? So I go down to the DMV. In Lexington, Kentucky, they call it the DMV. We call them the BMV here. So I go to the DMV, and they said, you got to pay. In fact, it's within a week, you're going to get a big fine. And you will get the old record on it. Oh, yeah. I was having fun. Because, see, at that time I thought, this is bad authority. Give me a break. Anyway, I had 2 weeks to go and submit. And I prayed and I prayed. And God was speaking so much. He said, have faith in me. I said, how does this work, Lord? Maybe he lost his part of the ticket, you know, his copy. So I call up, I had a, you know, and they said, oh yeah, he just submitted this, it's in process. I don't know. 2 weeks, I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. God's saying, don't worry about it. I said, how can I not worry? It was a Saturday. I had to pay by noon. Okay? If not, I'd be found guilty, you know, all the court cases. So I'm going there, and I'm going in the morning at 10 o'clock. I go to the office. There's this lady in the reception. She's reading the Bible. I said, praise God. God is here. I go there and I explain the whole thing, and she says, "You got two, man. No, you can't. It can't be changed." And so I say, "Okay, I guess I have to pay." I give in all of my, you know, my insurance and all of that. She looks and says, "Your insurance is expired." I said, "Expired?" I said, "Oh, I guess I got a new one from Geico, but I just didn't put it in the car. I have the old one." Here's my wife, and at that time, I think we just had Johan. Well, I drive back all the way, like 20 minutes, you know, to our home. We go there, and I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to cut it short. It's going to be noon is the cutoff time. After that, you are now found guilty. I'm going to pay some more." I go in, get the new one printed, come back. I have 10 minutes left. I told Tina, "Sit in the car." I turn on the car, it's in the parking lot, and I run inside the DMV office. I go into that same office, that one office where you pay your fines. I say, "Lord, last chance, help me." So I go in there, and I look at the same lady, and I say, "Ma'am, I agree I was going fast. Is there any way?" He says, "Nope, that was quick." And then out from behind her walks a man. I've seen him before, but he was in a beautiful blue suit. He looked like a model. He walked out, and he came out, and his eyes met me, and I saw him. I said, "Matt, what are you doing?" "Matt was my pastor's son." He says, "I work here." I said, "I thought he was a college student." Because he always wore, like, you know, those raggedy T-shirts and all to church, you know, jeans and all of that. Here he was in a suit. He looked like an angel to me. He says, "What do we have here?" I said, "Oh, God, I got to now confess to my pastor, son. It's like the confection box right now in DMV office." So I tell him, "Matt, I was going fast. And I had a ticket last week, 4 weeks back. And then this happened 2 weeks back." He said, "Let me see what I can do." He grabs it. And so the lady's like, "You can't do nothing about it. I'll see about it." He goes in. That's God saying, "Tell it again, tell it again, tell it again." That was so funny. I had so much fun that day. I had to talk about it. He goes in. Within 5 minutes, he comes back with the stamp, says, "Expunged." He says, "Go down to the second floor. There's that office where you pay. Just give it to them." I said, "Can I have a copy of this?" "I have a copy, ladies and gentlemen. I have a copy in my file." "Do you believe in God now?" It happens. It happens. What's the point? When authorities, you see, God ordains authorities for specific purpose. God forbids that somebody should, you know, they don't stop at the red light and hit you. There are laws, rules, and regulations, and authorities God ordains to uphold, to keep those things. And if you break them, we'll talk about that later. Did I set you up? That's the last section. How do you deal with authorities when they are wrong? Now, in my case, I was wrong, but God had mercy. Amen?
Amen.
So first things first, God is the ultimate authority. He's the final authority, and he gives authority to whomever he wills. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." You have no choice whether you like them or not, whether they are Democrat or Republican, the Green Party, the Peace Party, or whatever party. Amen. You have to submit to authority. And we'll see further down how and why we can submit to authorities. "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." We read again, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, God creates everything, and then he creates man. He says, "Let us make man in our own image, just like us." And then he says, "Here, rule over everything, all the creation, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, everything that creeps and crawls, it's all yours. Every tree is yours. Take care. I am delegating my authority to you." So God is self-existent. He's supreme. He's overall. Nobody created him. He is all-powerful. And then he gives it to us. Now, if you look at the names I was talking about, the very first chapter, he is called Elohim. Elohim, which means ruler or judge. He's above all. But in the second chapter, verse 4, I was surprised. It turns from God to Lord. And Lord, or Yehovah, or Yahweh, means, his name is memorial. It means self-existent one or eternal one, which means there's no beginning and there is no end. He always existed. And then where chapter 4, it's called El Elyon, God Most High. And then we throughout the Bible, he has new expressions. He's called El Shaddai, God Almighty. And so we come to know something about his nature from his name. He has ultimate authority. Are we settled on that?
Amen.
Anybody has doubts?
Amen.
Right? Okay, so that's the first section. So God's got the ultimate authority because he's the creator. He's a sustainer of the entire universe, Acts 17, 24 to 29. And then we read in Genesis 1. And all things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. That's Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17. Okay. So now we know God is the ultimate authority. Yes. Regardless of how the chain of command goes, God is the ultimate authority. Number two, what is the role of authority? What is the purpose? And why does God delegate authority? Hallelujah. The basic purpose for authority is to oversee, to be fruitful, to increase, and to grow, to be filled and to be fulfilled. If you look in the Garden of Eden, when God delegated that authority, he said, be fruitful and multiply, you know. Caveats, tangent. When you get married, you better have a job. Got to feed your wife, right? Okay, let's get back in there. So number one purpose, authorities are to be an expression and extension of God. Authorities are to be an expression and extension of God. You know, it's interesting, in John chapter 14, verses 7 to 10, Thomas and Philip are talking, having a conversation with Jesus, and Thomas says, we want to know the Father, you know. So Jesus responds to him and says, if you have known me, you have known the Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Then Philip says, hold on, I got another one. Show us the Father, we'll be satisfied, we are good. Tom doesn't know what he's asking. I know. Show us the Father. I'm good. So Jesus says, Phil, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Number one, I told you, authorities are to be an expression and extension of God. We see that in our lives. My kids will become just like me and my wife, right? Your kids will become just like, they'll learn. Why? There is a delegated authority and they learn those things. We see that, you know, between a CEO and the employees working there. You see that there is an authority figure. There's a chain of command in different things. Elected officials, you know, a mayor or a governor or the president, and then the people under. There is a chain of command, and we see that relationship dynamic. Whether we like it or not, there is a dynamic, though. So we are an expression and extension of God here. So I have authority over my family to protect. Now, if a 7 foot, 300 pound guy comes to attack, he might take me down. But buddy, I'm going to bite your nose off. Because why? My kids and my wife are under my authority. You might beat me, you're going down too. You know what I'm saying? Why? It's inherent in me as a father and as a husband to be protective. I don't care how big you are. Amen. I'm going to take you down. Amen. You know what I'm saying? So there is that relationship dynamic. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So number one, authorities are to be an expression and extension of God. God protects his children. Amen. God is over. He oversees his children. So when God gives me children, guess what? I have to be just like God to them. Not like I lord it over them. I want to be protective. I want to provide. I want to protect. That's why for a husband, his function is to be a priest, leading spiritually, a protector, and a provider. And that's why he is nurturing. So with the mother is a nurturer. You know, she nurtures. And so we see that there is a dynamic, a relationship dynamic. Number two, authorities impart purpose. Authorities impart purpose. Every CEO who gets onto the seat of the CEO has a goal and purpose. Now, they put that in the mission or vision statement of the company. Now, we as a family have a goal. You know, when we disciple our, mentor our children. This is the way to go. This is not the way to go. This is how you have a good attitude. This is how you deal with failures. This is how you deal with success. And there is a mentorship, a discipleship. That's a dynamic. Without purpose, without goals, you are teaching your kids to fail. You're teaching your employees to fail. You are teaching the people who elected you, you will fail. And it's very important to have a purpose. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and said to them, who, the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, the purpose. Hey, I've been given authority. I'm giving it to you. What for? Not so that you can lord it over people, but go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he says, guess what? A bonus. Behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. If you are in a place of authority, it is not so that you can lord it over, be brash about it, but that you can achieve the goals and purposes delegated to you. One great thing you can do for your own personal life, that if you do not know what your purpose is, in life, why am I here? Why am I alive? Why am I created? Why do I have a job here? Why am I in this city? Why am I in this situation? Why am I in this family? If you do not know that, ask. Ask the Lord. I want to know this because I want to know where my direction is, so if there is any impediment, I can clear it. Because if you know the end goal, you will be able to walk through life victoriously. No failure can take you down. Does that make sense? So you have to find out what your goals are. What is the purpose of your life? And authorities impart that. In my office, I work at the airport. I take care of the safety division. I take care of the customer service division. I have taken care of two more divisions. And we make goals. And it's called the four disciplines of execution. We make goals and we say, this is our prime goal for the next 12 weeks. And we are at it. And when we are good, then we say, let's make another goal. So throughout the year, we may have 3-4 goals that we practice. And what happens is we are trying to, so for, let's say example, the customer service division, we say, every phone call that you get, you know, calling for, hey, I need a shuttle service or this, a wheelchair service or whatever, we're going to log it and we're going to count it. Now, some people's like, why should I do that? I'm not good at computers. I don't know how to say, hey, this is what we want to do as a team. So when you see that at the end of the year, like, wow, we had so many wheelchair calls, we might need to buy new wheelchairs, extra wheelchairs. So guess what? That helped us figure out a goal, a purpose. We're in the customer service division, and if we don't have enough wheelchairs, like 10 people coming out of a Allegiant flight, we have only 2 wheelchairs. It's not going to cut it, right? So it helps us refocus on the goals. Authorities impart purpose. Number three, authorities create accountability. Authorities create accountability. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. A very good example of that, creating accountability, is our government. You know, if for 4 years one president doesn't do well, guess what? We elect another one. If they do well, they get 4 more years. So there is accountability. We keep them accountable. We elected you to do this, and if you don't do this, yeah. If they say, this is what I'm going to do, you know, politicians are good at promises. You know, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. We elect, it's like, who are you? There are some like that, right? So we say, okay, great. Come next time, you're getting out of the office, we'll elect somebody else who can work for us. So in the same way, it also implies to us, we are accountable. You know IRS? You heard of IRS? Yeah, they come at you, sniff you out. It's like, you didn't pay $50, you know, here. Oh, how'd you know that? Like, oh, we know everything. You know, I think Thomas Jefferson said that two things are very certain, death and taxes. Death and taxes, yeah. You bet your last dollar, they're coming for you. So authorities create accountability. We keep them accountable that you will uphold the law of the land, that you will uphold the Constitution. You can't just break it for a small group of people here or there. We keep them accountable. Number four, authorities provide protection. Authorities provide protection. I'm going to rush through this. 1 Peter 2:13-14 says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or leaders as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. The authorities provide protection. That's why justice, that word justice, is a very important aspect of authority. If you have authority, there is a place where you will have to decide, this is right or this is wrong. I got kids, you know, sometimes, Daddy, tell them not to do this. Like, okay, don't do this. Like, no, but he did this, you know. I'm thinking, ah. So I have to be now the judge. Okay, you can't touch. You don't look. Please. He looked at me. Don't look. You to that bedroom, you to that bedroom. Where's my room? Praise God for a godly wife. I tell you what. Oof, she's worth her weight in gold. Don't tell her I told her.
Praise the Lord.
But you understand, the authorities are here to say, yes, this is right. You're free to go. Or, no, that's not right. That's not allowed. That's not fair. You have to pay restitution. They are there for protection. Yeah? Authority implies that you recognize and differentiate between good and evil. We all have a conscience, but when you're in authority, you better be careful how you use it, because if you don't use it properly, you may abuse it. And there are a lot of people who abuse authority. See, we have the knowledge of good and evil. The garden, what happened? Eve ate the fruit, gave it to man. Now they have the knowledge of good and evil. Unfortunately, they did not have the power to choose good over evil. Hey, but there's a good news. In the New Testament, Jesus came, I'll give you a helper.
Amen.
And he put the Holy Spirit inside you. You become the temple. Now we are talking.
Amen.
Now we know good and evil, and we can have the power to choose good and not choose evil.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But guess what? God paid a price for that. Yes. It didn't come free. So we have to really be careful with the authority that's granted to us. The next one. Authorities bestow power to do good. They bestow power to do good. Luke 9:1-2. Jesus called the 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. The authority given to you by God is for good.
Amen.
That video was brilliant. Folks, I have news for you. This is no agacadabra, magic, hocus pocus. No. It works.
Amen.
I'm serious. It works.
Praise the Lord.
It works. Now, you say, well, it hasn't worked for me. Look, you haven't tried enough. You haven't believed. But if you do, it works. Maybe you should get around people who have faith because it works every time. Amen. This past week, I don't know if I told you last time, Johan went, he had some itches in his ears 2 weeks back. We took him to the ENT, and she said, wow, this is a mess, you know, I can't see the eardrums, must be perforated. And she said, he needs to have these drops. And I said, okay. And you know, when they talk weird, then you're thinking something is wrong. She's like, if you can't afford it, come to us, we'll give you some coupons. If you can't afford it, what, $1 million, you know? And I saw, it was 7 ml, it's like probably has 20 drops in it. $278. I'm thinking, you're killing my son. You're making a drug addict or something. Yeah, he's got a steroid. He's going to have a steroid, antibiotic, and then I'm going to another antibiotic. I said, he's 10 years old. And so, now, the doctors are so-called authorities in medical field, right? So I'm thinking, what do I do? So we came out, and it's like, Lord, what do we do? And my wife said, I'm going to call our pediatrician, you know, he we'll see what happens. We go to the pediatrician, and he says, well, I can see the eardrum. He says, just put garlic oil, it's fine. Hey, we changed the authority, you know, it worked. But then he said, why is his throat so swollen? I said, what? He just ate, so maybe he still got stuck up in his throat. I said, no, he's been like that. It's like, well, we need to do some blood tests. Of course. So we go from authority to another authority. We go to we get the sheet. Here's the blood test. We go to the lab that he told us to. And they said, we can't do this. Why? Do you know you have 27 different tests? I said, oh, there's something on the back side and this side. He said, he's 10-year-old. You have to have 8 vials of blood. He might pass out. Yeah. I'm thinking a 10-year-old... Lord have mercy. What's going on in this world? They said, you might want to go to Lutheran. They might have the pediatric vials, which is half, but they could do the same test. And, you know, so we went to Lutheran and they said, no, this actually half of this goes outside the hospital. So we don't know if they might need more blood. Anyway, long story short, I had to pacify my wife. They stayed over, the nurses and all of them. And they took blood. They took blood, and after they took 4 vials, the blood stopped. They had to poke him again. I said, Lord. And he was like, you know. They took it all, and the guy who was taking the blood says, you know, I haven't seen adults the way you behaved. You were fully in control. You did a great job. Anyway, 2 weeks later, we have the test results. You know, my wife. She's like, Lord, no. You know, she's praying and all of that. Did I say God always works?
Yes.
You need faith?
Yes.
So we said, so what's up with this, Lord? Show us something. And so God gave her a word. God always speaks. God always speaks. I tell you, he always speaks. He never sleeps or slumbers, the Bible says. So guess what? He's got to keep talking. So he always sees. Sometimes we don't hear God because we're not listening. We're not listening. So, but she heard. And when he speaks, you can take it to the bank.
Amen.
So she took it to the bank. 3 days back, we had the follow-up appointment. The doctor looked and he said, hey, he's perfectly fine. I said, we told you. Don't send the bill to our house, you know. We told you. But here's the thing. We heard from God. Because God is the ultimate authority over our bodies. So whatever the earthly authorities say, it's okay. We'll go to the ultimate authority. So we spoke, and God healed him, totally restored him.
Amen.
What are we talking about? That authorities are given for good, to do good, to heal, to restore, to make whole, to free, to set free. You and I have the same authority that Jesus had. So guess what? You and I can go out of those doors and do the same thing that Jesus did, to set free, to set free the people who are in bondage from in the prisons, to heal, to restore, to make whole. It is possible. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you." Caveat, side note, don't go about taking snakes and, you know, playing with them. Amen. Thinking, you know, that is called stupidity. And God doesn't stand, you know, he can't tolerate stupidity. Stupidity is a disease. Right? It is. The other day I saw a lady trying to fill up gas. I'm thinking, like this. I'm thinking, lady, I'm going to the next gas station. That's stupidity.
Amen.
You know, don't blame God because of your own stupidity.
Right?
Right? That's why God gave us a brain. We got to use it more often. He says, nothing will hurt you. That doesn't mean you go start looking for problems and troubles,
amen.
You know?
Amen.
Yeah? We sometimes call it the power of attorney. You know, when you go on the roads and you see a cop and he does this, guess what? He's got authority. He's got a uniform. He's got a badge.
Amen.
Now, I could plow through him because my car is bigger than him. But you see, I'm not going to do that because he's authority. He puts his hand out. Authority. Same thing. When you see the lights behind, hey, carnival lights. No. Pulling over. You're pulling over and you're praying hard. You're hoping that God rescues you. It's like, I'm ready to come home, Lord. Beam me, Scotty. Now. Rapture now. Hallelujah. So behind the cop, there is an authority. There's the mayor of the town. Or if you're a state trooper, there's the state law, the governor. There's authority. And they say, thou shall stop.
Amen.
No questions asked. Or else we'll whip you. Yeah? What happens when you don't stop? You get a bigger fine.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Ellie, next time stop. Yeah, don't worry. It's going to be okay. Next one. Last point in that section, authorities produce confidence. Authorities produce confidence. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So the ultimate authority is with you. He's always with you. He's always for you. We read in Matthew 28, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. He's with me. He's for me. He's not against me. If that's settled, if that authority is with you, you can face every problem, even authorities that are against it. And we'll see, what do you do if God-ordained authority tells me to do one thing and God tells me to do other things? Do I say, God, sorry, you're out of luck. I got to obey your authority that you put over me. Or do we say yes to God and say, no, Daddy, I'm going to do it my way. It's my way or the highway. You know? No, we don't do that, right? Both are wrong. And you say, how is it? I'm glad you asked. We'll come to that. Authorities produce confidence. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Confidence is the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. We are confident of having constant electricity. Right? See, when I grew up little, I'm from India, and the peak summers, the temperatures would go to 100, 110 degrees Fahrenheit, and we have something called load shedding, where for an hour or two in the evening, lights out, shut. Not that you switch the lights off, there's a power outage. Power outage. Do you know if that happened today in this place, we'd be suffering. All our meat in the freezer is going to go bad. Now we'll be fanning. Some people be cussing around. Oh boy. Why? Because we take for granted. Electricity is always going to be there. Food's always going to be there. My children think food's always going to be there. Why? Daddy's responsibility, not mine. Yeah, it's going to be there. Right? Water's going to be there. You know what happened when Hurricane Katrina hit. Electricity was gone, water everywhere, no sanitation, no food, nothing. Chaos, mayhem. People started stealing, breaking, you know. Many even drowned because they decided, oh, I'm not leaving, this is my house. You know, they got drowned. But authorities produced confidence, you know, and the government at that time got a lot of slack. You didn't prepare well, you didn't do this. But if the government functions or the authorities function properly, they instill confidence. The whole stock market depends on that. Did you know that? Hey, guess what? I don't see much news, but I saw, was it a tweet or a news item 2 days back? President Trump said, well, I could say one tweet and I could bring the stock markets down. Now, I don't know if he said that. He was quoted in Yahoo, so, you know, Yahoo, like, more than half, I don't believe, because they always try to recant what they said. So anyway, so I'm not putting him, President Trump, down, or, you know, I'm just saying, but a tweet, something, you know, and the market confidence goes down. You know, we won't be, we are stopping all trade, or putting fines on China. Phew, stock market goes down. Hey, we're going to meet next week with the Chinese premier. Whoop, stock markets go down. You know, many times we, our confidence in God goes like that, like a stock market. We go up and down. We ought not to be. If God is the ultimate authority, the sovereign authority over all things pertaining to me, my confidence is always high. And whenever there is a dip in the road, I will keep soaring. Amen? That's what authorities do to you. Okay, section 3. What types of authority does God set over us? What type of authorities does God set over us? And I'll go very quickly. There are 5 different types of authorities that you will have in your life, regardless of who you are and what your age is, where you are. Number 1, supernatural authority or eternal authority. Number 2, parental authority. Number 3, governmental authority. Number 4, occupational authority. Number 5, spiritual authority. Number 1, supernatural or eternal authority. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. But it's Romans 13, 1 and 2 says, let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. What is it saying? God is the ultimate authority. He is over all. You can't change that. Number 2, parental authorities. These are your parents. Did you know out of all of these authorities, parental authority is the most important after God? The reason is you can't change them. You can't divorce them. You're already born, right? You came out of them. You can't change them. And we know that these are the only authorities that stick with you throughout your life, till they pass away or till you pass away. But their role as authorities changes after you become an adult. They become advisors. If you are a parent, know that for your children or for your loved one, your spouse, you are an authority, and especially for your children, you're an authority, but after they come to accountable age, you become advisors. It is a privilege and honor to be so. Don't let go of them. If they come to you, stand with them. So we don't choose them. They are the only people who start as authorities and become advisors. Number 3, governmental authorities. They are elected or appointed officials who provide leadership, offer development, maintain law and order, provide public services, both personal and economic security and assistance. That's governmental. You elect. You put a vote, you elect. And you can take them out. Yeah, you can take them out. That's governmental authorities. That's God-ordained authorities. Number 4, occupational authorities. Your boss at your work. He might be the lousiest guy around, but he is an authority over you. You may or may not like her or him, but he's an authority over you, and you are under him or her. Number 5, spiritual authorities. Your authority at your church under whom you're spiritually nurtured or fed. Pastor Harley is our spiritual authority. By the way, you can change all of these authorities except your parental authorities. Yeah, I don't like this pastor. Okay, go to another church. Boop, you go there, you have a new pastor, you have a new authority. I don't like this job. I don't like this boss. You go to another workplace, you have a new boss. By the way, did you realize you'll always have somebody over you? Right? Yeah. So we might as well get along. So these five are God-ordained authorities. How do we submit to authorities? Next section. How do we submit to authorities? I'm going to run through. Number one, we have to submit to them by imitating Christ, how they are behaving. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2 says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." This is Paul talking. "Just as I follow Christ, follow me." Which means, when you see me not follow Christ, don't follow me there. Don't do the bads that I do. I'm growing there. I'm still getting tickets. I'm growing there. Sorry, Belly. I just tried to pull your leg. But you understand the point. When we see godly leadership and authority, even if they are not followers of Christ, it's okay. When you see something good, appreciate and, you know, follow them. I love certain aspects of Jeff Bezos, Amazon CEO. His ethics, the way he does it. How many of you shop online on Amazon? You do? I love Amazon. Double hand. Oh, my wife would raise her feet too. She loves Amazon. She loves Amazon. I don't know if I can say this publicly. You know, they take returns after 6 months of use. You know, we had a bird cage and the thing, it wasn't working. And she says, "Don't worry, they'll take care of it." I was like, "Really?" I say, "That guy is going to go on a loss because you seem to be returning everything every now and then." But you know, they are true. It's like, "Oh, you're not satisfied? No problem. We'll send you a return label. Just put it in the bag and send it back to us." And within 5 minutes, full refund. I'm not encouraging you to go drown them. What I'm trying to say is, I love certain ethics, the way they satisfy, if the customer's not happy, we'll take it back. No wonder he's the richest man in the world. $137 billion, and his company's worth over $1 trillion. Wow. I mean, Bill Gates is just almost half of what he has. But the point I'm making is, it's okay to appreciate people in authority, in leadership, and say, "I like this. I don't like this. I don't have to follow that." Exactly. Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." If you see anything good in me, try to do that. And that comes in discipleship. Amen? So how do you submit to position? This is the main gist of my sermon. Of my talk. If you forget everything else, that's fine. But remember this. This is very important. How do I submit to someone who I disagree with? Let's say, you know, God says, "I want you to go as a missionary to China." You go to your mom and daddy and say, "Hey, I want to go there." And your parents say, "Nope, you're not going." What do you do? If you tell your parents, "Nyang, nyang, 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 nyang," and you go into the mission field, you will have loss after loss after loss, because you're violating one law to fulfill another law, one command to fulfill another command. God says, "Obey me, go forth," but you have not honored your parents. If you do so, I'm telling you, get out of mission field, because you're going to cause yourself a lot of heartache and pain. You cannot violate one law to fulfill another law. It's called the life's greatest test. Every person, the sound of my voice, has already gone through or will go through. If you fail, God is so good, He'll give it to you again. Only in God's kingdom you will take a test until you pass. If you fail it 1,000 times, God's saying, "You'll do better next time." There is no like, "Okay, just give him a passing grade and let him go through." Nah, it's not like that. You will have to take that test. Everybody in the Bible, you read through, they've gone through that, where one authority has said this and another authority has come. Both are God-ordained authorities, and the other authority says, "Nah, not this way." Joseph, Daniel. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Hey, you got to bow down and worship this idol. No, we can't. Oh, I'm going to throw you in the fire. Oh, king, we'll submit to you, but we can't submit to that. We have to obey God. But we'll submit to your rule. Your rule is if we don't bow down and worship that idol, it'll throw us. We are ready. Bind us. Guess what? When you submit to God's authority the right way, God himself will come in and stand with you. Now that, I tell you, is awesome. When the king sees, he says, hold on, didn't we just throw in three people? There's a fourth one, and he looks like the Son of God. Bring him out, bring him out. Obviously, you know the story. They're in success. It's like, whoa. He sends out reports, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Everybody has to worship. You know the story. Here's the thing. So how do I do this? Jesus went through that. Did you know that? Jesus went through the life's greatest test. If he did, you and I are going to go through that too. If your husband says something and you feel like God has told me to do this, and your husband says this, how do you do it? Am I setting you up? He's like, come on, tell me. Tell me. I heard enough. See, Jesus went through that. You know, by the age of 12, every Jewish child has read the Torah. He's ready. He's memorized. He's ready for ministry. So at the age of 12, when they go to Jerusalem, guess what? He went to the temple. When they went back after that, he's like, oh, the son is missing. So they go back after days of searching. He says, son, what did you do? What does Jesus say? Why did you leave us?
Huh? Must be about my father's business.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for business. I'm 12 years old. Remember? I'm ready for business. Do you know what Mary said? No, you don't. You come here. I'm going to pull you back all the way. No, she didn't say that. But you know what she said? You need to come back home, son. You got some tables and chairs to make. You know, God the Son said, I'm ma'am. Yes, sir. And he made tables and chairs for the next 18 years. Why would Jesus subject himself to his earthly parental authorities? Because as soon as those 18 years were done, God himself witnesses. What does he say? This is, when he's 30 years, remember? He's going slam dunk into the, you know, baptism water. He comes out. The Spirit of God comes mighty, you know, like a dove, settles on him and says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The tables are great. The chairs are perfect. I love it. God says that. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Not one miracle, not one sermon preached. He didn't do anything. He was unknown for 18 years. You and I would say he's lost a lot of time. But God was pleased by his submission to his earthly authorities. You know why? Because historically we'll see that Joseph died early. And he became the head of his family. A lot of people say, you know, I'm going to neglect my parents. I'm going to neglect my children because my ministry is more important. I have news for you. Ministry is the last thing in your submission and in your responsibility. Your responsibility to God is first. Your responsibility to your wife, if you're not married, your, you know, the people around you. Your responsibility to your work is next. If you are a lousy worker, a lazy worker, you are a bad name to God. You have to keep your witness. Witnessing is not taking the Bible and thumping on people's head. It's being a good, diligent worker. A trustworthy worker, a faithful worker. And then last comes ministry. You know, when I was growing, I thought the ministry was first because I thought God would be pleased. I was shocked to find out ministry is the last. The last. God doesn't care about your ministry. And I'm not saying it in a very bad way of like, don't care about what you do. Your ministry is who you are. And if you don't know who you are and you don't know how to walk the walk of victory, your life is an example of how it should not be. Your ministry will fail. Does that make sense? I'm not saying don't minister. I mean, I'm a minister here. I mean, I got a full-time job. But I love ministering, and I'm faithful to what God called me. Right? And there are times God say, son, not that way. Whew, Oh, thanks, Lord. Thanks for loving me. Not scolding me, just telling me gently so I can change. I want to change. I got to keep my ministry. I'll tell you the story. Whew, I didn't think I was going to tell this. 3 days back, I was filling up air in a gas station, and I got somebody F-bombed me. Yeah. So I was filling up air, and the guy had gone in, and he had parked in the wrong spot. So, and there were two other cars, so I parked right behind him. Nobody was there, so I was filling. I was on the other side. He's like, hey, can you take, what are you doing? Seriously? I said, I was thinking, my goodness. He was an older man, you know, white hair. I'm thinking, he must be in a hurry or something. So I said, sorry about that, sir. And he said, blankety blank, not to me, like, take your sorry with yourself. And I wanted to stop and, you know, I wanted to say, do you need a diaper change? Now, I was not going to go cuss. I've never cussed, so I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to start that. You know, once you start something, it becomes part of you. I'm not going to. But that was a spirit of anger. I was going to say, do you need a, you're better than that, man. You're better than that. My two-year-old behaves better. I was going to say all of that. And I just kept quiet, and I was seething in, and I had a conversation with the Lord. Lord, I'm surprised that you held me back. I am so glad. I could have lost my witness. What if he comes to church on Sunday while I'm preaching? I'm thinking, so the Lord says. I said this. So here's the thing. The Lord says, bless those who curse you. I don't feel like it, Lord. I want to go bash him. He might be big. I want to bash him. You see what's happening? There is a choice I have to make. So I'm thinking, so what do I do, Lord? I want to put coals of fire. I want to literally hot coals on his head. You know, Lord, like good coals, you know. And he said, bless those who curse you. So I'm driving. I bless you, man. I bless you in Jesus' name. Goodness and mercy all the days of your life. May you be tormented by goodness. May God's goodness fall on you. May God bless you. May you weep. And I told my wife, weep in a good way, like he's, oh, God, I thank you for saving me. That kind of weeping. But I want to see you weep. I want to see big tears. And the Lord's laughing, like, go on. It's like, so I'm saying all of this. I go to my office. This was in the morning. I go to my office. The first thing, not my emails. I'm not checking anything. I'm looking at scriptures. I'm cussing in the word. I'm looking at this. Oh, I agree this. Oh, I read this scripture. I never seen this. It seems like God just put it like 3 days back in the Bible, you know? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16 says, you immediately recognize a man who is out of compliance. In other words, anybody who has a spirit of anger. But a prudent man, a wise man, steps back when insulted. I'm thinking, I am prudent. I like him. But I still want to deal with him, Lord. I am praying this over him. And I hear, I'm reading scriptures. The man of wrath is a fool. I'm like, praise the Lord, that fool. I'm thinking, wow, what's going on? And so I'm having this conversation the whole day. Tina's talking. I'm driving. Oh, honey, I had a great discipleship with Thomas, you know. Maybe that's why he's attacking me. Yeah. So I'm saying all of this on the way. And God is coming alongside. He's assuring me. And he said some things about this guy. I said, Lord, I don't care. I want to see this man again. And the Lord said, I could have sent that man anywhere else. His time is short. And I brought him to you so you could pray some sense into him. That was 3 days back. Yesterday I said, don't do that again, Lord. But he said, did you know, I kid you not, I'm having a conversation with God. He said, did you know I was so proud of the way you reacted? Because you are not just known by your actions, you are known by your reactions. And he said, you know, 10 years back, you would have chewed him up. I said, that's true. I still want to see him, Lord. and I want to see him get saved. I prayed for him. I told Tina, that man must be an abusive husband. I'm sad for his kids. And I said, I wonder what he's going through. I wonder what I'm not seeing. And he didn't cuss me. He was just cussing loud, you know, just like. And I said, thank you for changing me. I didn't realize I was changed too. But here's the point. God is calling you to imitate Christ. The world is not going to change because you took the Bible and thumped people on their head, but because they saw Jesus in you. I am going to see him, whether here on earth or up there. And if I see him raise hands and say, I am saved because I have no clue, I'd say, me! Do you remember? I played a lot of scenarios in my mind. So how do I submit to... I shouldn't say this. I had the spirit of anger come, you know, settle in me. I'm like taking a baseball bat and beating him. How does that feel? And the Lord says, no, you're better than that. Yes, of course, I am better than that. He didn't even cuss me directly. Why am I upset about it, you know? So I had a lot of talk with the Lord. We are settled. We are good, right, Lord? Yep, he says good. Question, how do I submit to someone I disagree with? Life's greatest test, right? You humbly submit to your authorities. Number one, you humbly submit to your authorities. If they don't agree with you, you humbly appeal to them. You appeal. You don't boss. You don't tell them what they should do. You appeal to them. And if they don't agree, you humbly appeal to the higher authority. For example, I have a great boss, so I have no problems and issues. So if my boss tells me to do something that I don't agree with, that I think is wrong, I'll say, George, I'm so sorry about this, but I am not comfortable. May I please appeal? Would you please take it back? I don't want to do this. If George says, nope, you've got to do this, because I'm telling you, I'm your boss. Please, may I please submit to you? This is going against my conscience. I want to appeal to you. I want to submit to you, but I want to appeal to you that you would take this task away. I don't feel comfortable. It's against the company rules. He says, nope, you are going to do it, or else I'm going to fire you. Then you go to his authority. Sir, I want to submit. I have a great boss, but there's one thing that I'm not able to do. Then you go to your authority. Why? Because who's your ultimate authority? Now, if the other authorities, the higher authority also says no, you can go directly to God. And I have seen that in my own life. And God will spank those people, set them right. No, seriously, set them right. Either he will remove them, or he will remove you from that place and you give you a promotion. Many, many, many times, I can't give you enough examples where God has moved. Why? Because you submitted to authority. You don't crop attitudes. You don't become rebellious. You don't grumble, complain, backbite, dishonor, disrespect, sabotage. You know, you're half-hearted in your work and you don't produce enough. At your work, no, don't do that. That is a wrong attitude, and it'll give you in trouble. Humbly submit to your immediate authority who's disagreeing with you. We did an example of going to missions. I had a friend back in Illinois who went to the father, and the father says, nope, you're not going to go into missions. Now, I paid for you to go to study school. You're not going to missions. So she said, okay, Dad, whatever you want. So she submitted, but she told God, God, I submit to your authority. One day you'll take me, but I want to submit to my earthly father until you help him release me. It took about 3 years. She submitted completely, wholeheartedly, loved on her dad, and 3 years later, the dad said, you know, from the time I had that conversation, I'm seeing you're such a different person. What have you done? What are you doing? So she told how she got saved in college and how she felt that God was calling her. After hearing all the stories for over an hour, the father said, you know, I don't believe in God, but I'm okay with you believing. You said you want a blessing? I'll bless you. You can go on missions. She was ecstatic. You see, if she had said, I don't care what you said, God, the ultimate authority, has said this, her ministry would have been lousy. She would have gotten married to a man and she would have cropped up the same attitude. The attitudes that you crop against your authorities, it'll come back to bite you. Final thoughts. Understanding authority and implications of being under authority can set us up for success in our journey called life. If you understand this, it'll do you a whole lot of good. Number two, everyone will go through the test of true submission. Pass it the first time, because otherwise you'll take it. Because God wants to raise you up. Whether you like it or not, God wants to raise you up. And he can't raise somebody who doesn't have enough character to hold on to the power and position. You don't submit to the person. Your boss might be a lousy man. You submit to the position. If you get that straight, you will understand. You don't submit to an abusive husband. You submit to his position as the husband. And the goodness of God through you will change that man. I have seen so many people do that. It is not the person. It is the position. You know, our own president, you know, a lot of people have bad things to say about his personality. Now, whether it was President Trump or Clinton, Hillary Clinton or whoever, we don't submit to the personality. It may be good or bad. We submit to the position. Amen. Lastly, all authority figures in your life will pass away. Move on. Accept God. So when you submit, submit as unto God. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.